This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. More than half the people in Detroit rent their homes. And back in 2017, the city set a two-year timeline to bring all rental properties into compliance with new rules. That's not gone so well. Joining me now is Sarah Alvarez, the director of Outlier Media, who wrote about it in Curb Detroit. She's also worked here at Michigan Radio as a reporter. Hey, it's good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you.
So let's start with those 2017 requirements for rental homes for landlords. What did the city of Detroit want?
So basically what they wanted, what the department that's in charge of enforcing this rental property ordinance said they wanted, was to kind of ensure the same conditions across the city so that a renter who's renting in a stable neighborhood isn't necessarily going to get their house will be different, but the baseline would be the same across the city in more stable neighborhoods and in neighborhoods that have had a rougher time of it.
So basically everything works. You've got a furnace that's in good shape, things like that.
Yeah. And I think what they really want. So, I mean, important context is that so much of the housing stock in Detroit is old, right? Most of the houses in Detroit are 50 years old or more. So that means like repairs can be very costly for landlords, but also really necessary for renters. And so I think what the city was interested in doing and what they said they were interested in doing was making sure that some of those basics that can really fall apart in an older home were available for all renters. Like you said, heating, windows. A big one is the presence of lead paint, those kind of basics that are really important for health and safety.
So not only are some of these homes old, but, you know, many of those were vacant or foreclosed upon and investors picked them up and tried to put them back in the market. So how has that impacted the whole goal of getting rental properties in good shape across the city?
Right. The goal of getting rental properties in good shape, that's what the city wants to see. I think what you saw a lot of investors doing was hoping to make money off of rental properties. And that doesn't necessarily, that goal of having a rental property be in good shape, doesn't necessarily align with the goal of making money off of it. So, of course, there are a lot of smaller landlords who are really trying to get a property back into productive use, renovate it so they can rent it out for a good rent and make money on that in the short or the long term. But there are a lot of other landlords that you saw buying properties in, and they're mostly investors, not even really landlords, buying properties, trying to rent them out without really doing repairs, and then returning them to the tax auction in 3 years. So that, I think, is who the rental inspection ordinance was really aimed at. And that's the behavior that it was kind of supposed to curb, was people buying properties up cheap and trying to milk as much money out of them. And meanwhile, there's people who are living in those substandard conditions and paying money to live in those substandard conditions.
For any ordinance to actually be effective, you have to have enforcement. And you write that this 36th District Court refused to fully enforce the new ordinance. What was that all about?
I think that was kind of one of the main downfalls of this ordinance in its early days were that, you know, a landlord would go into court and say, this person is not paying rent, I want to evict them. And the tenant could say, I'm holding back my rent because they haven't made repairs and the city even told them to make repairs. And 36th District Court would say, well, that's not really, that's between you and the city. You haven't paid your rent. And if you don't pay your rent, you're going to be evicted. And that like cut the feet out from under this ordinance. And then Lakeshore Legal, which is a nonprofit legal group in Detroit, did kind of move that up through the courts. And the Third Circuit Court made it clear that the Detroit City Courts have to enforce it. If a renter is trying to participate in this ordinance and hold back their rent, that they can't be evicted for not paying their rent, because that's the whole point of the ordinance, is to allow them to hold back their rent in hopes of forcing a landlord to make repairs.
So the effectiveness of this 2017 ordinance has not been great, and there are problems. So why not just scrap that law, start over, and make it right?
Well, that's interesting. I think that the city to its credit, understood that the goals of this ordinance were not being met and that it wasn't really working for renters. It wasn't increasing the safety of these dwellings, but it also really wasn't working for landlords. And that was not their intention, right? To make it difficult to be a good landlord. That's not what the city was trying to do. So they got a grant from the Kresge Foundation to really try to figure out what some of the unintended consequences of the rental ordinance were, and then try to solve for that. So they are not scrapping the ordinance. They are going to introduce some policy changes. And I think, to be honest, I think that one thing that was surprising to the city was the sheer number of rental properties. Like, Detroit used to be a place where most people owned their homes, and now it is a place where most people rent.
It was famous in the nation for having the most black family owned homes rate in the nation. So that's certainly changed. So how's that process going of hearing out tenants, hearing out landlords, looking at some of the unintended consequences? Are we in the middle of that? Are we nearing the end of that? Where is it?
Yeah, it's almost done. There's a few more meetings in December. But also, I would say that even if people can't make it to a meeting, but they care about this issue and they want their voice heard, that they should call the city directly. I do think that the city does honestly want to hear from people and know how they can be helpful, both for landlords and for renters. Like, one thing that landlords really complained about are the lead inspection rules, which are very expensive and for property owners need to happen very often. So that's, for example, that's one thing that the city kind of knows they need to address. But of course, they want to do it in a way that keeps renters safe. It's not an easy problem. You know, this is housing in Detroit is a really complicated thing. And it's a very hard problem to start to fix.
What will you be watching for next?
In terms of the rental registration program, I think what we will be watching for is how the courts continue to deal with this, like, so where the rubber really hits the road, if, you know, we want to look at evictions. And then we'll also be looking at which parts of the city are most able to come into compliance. And I think the city is more concerned about whether or not smaller landlords are able to weather this change, right? They want to encourage responsible rentals. And that means that, like, they're going to need to have a policy that works for these small landlords and then also for people who own, you know, hundreds of properties. So I think we'll be watching to see how both of those groups, the big landlords and the small landlords, are able to navigate this and ultimately what that means for regular Detroiters who rent.
Sarah Alvarez wrote the report, Detroit to Make Changes in Its Rental Registry Ordinance Due to Limited Compliance, for Curbed Detroit. She is the director of Outlier Media. Thanks for talking with us.
Well, thank you so much.